But kind of makes it rough, you know, on Brother Hall. But I appreciate the good singing tonight. Appreciate you being back in the Lord's house. We're going to try to preach for a little while, and I'll try to run down through my little thoughts here as quickly as I know how. And we'll have our meeting in just a little while, okay? Psalm 51, please. Psalm number 51. I begin this psalm in the Sunday school hour, and I want to pick up on a thought out of it again tonight and continue right on. If the Lord will let me, I may bring several more thoughts, either in Sunday school or preaching, out of Psalm 51. It's a tremendous psalm.
Amen.
And loaded with great Bible truths, and I'm hoping the Lord will use it, you know, in a wonderful way. To be a blessing to the church. Psalm 51, and let's read the entire psalm again tonight, okay? In verse number 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from any sin, or from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite a heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Now that's reading all 19 verses of Psalm 51. May the Lord add His richest blessing to the preaching of His Word tonight. I ask you to pray for me. Pray with me that God will help tonight and help the preacher, help my voice, help my heart. I want to say everything God would have me to say and refrain from saying anything that would be offensive to my Lord, that would quench God and grieve the Holy Spirit. So let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy Word. It's truth. We're sanctified by Thy truth. I thank you tonight, Father, for the privilege that's ours again to be in the house of God. Thank you for your people and how they sing tonight with joy and with jubilance in their heart. I thank you tonight for the presence of the Spirit of God. Now I pray that you will bless us tonight. I've come looking for a blessing in the house of God. Now I pray that you will meet our needs tonight, satisfy the longings and the hunger, Lord, of every soul that's here tonight. I pray you'll quench the thirst of the thirsty, satisfy the hunger of the hungry. Lord, you'll bless the poor and the afflicted. God, that you'll get glory and honor unto yourself. I do pray for fresh oil. God, I need that fresh oil tonight that can only be given by the Holy Ghost. I'm nothing in myself. I yield myself humbly, Lord, unto Thee tonight in the best way I know how, and pray that God will use me for His divine glory, that I may glorify the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me. Have Your divine will and way in every heart, and we'll thank You for every sinner that's saved, every child of God that's blessed and helped, for we ask it and plead it in Jesus' name and for His sake alone. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated tonight. I want to call your attention tonight for our text verse, to verse number 2. And I may not be able to get away from these microphones much tonight. I don't know if Doug will keep this one on. My voice is about gone. But in verse number 2, where the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, made this statement, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Now, if God would help me tonight, I want to preach a message on the thought, squeaky clean. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be in my Christian life, is squeaky clean. I preached to Brother Nolan several years ago in a 6-week-long revival meeting, and I made the statement in one of the services there that I wanted to be squeaky clean in my Christian life. And a few weeks after I got back home from that meeting and it was over, one of the members there sent me a bar of old lye soap in the mail and had written on that lye soap, "Squeaky clean." He said, "Nothing cleans like lye soap." I said, "Well, I guess that's true." That was just his way of saying amen to what Brother Hall was preaching on about being squeaky clean. Now, when I talk about squeaky clean, I'm talking about the way that glass squeaks after you've cleaned it with Windex. You can take that Windex and spray it on a window and wash it real good with paper towels, and you can hear that paper towel or that glass and the friction between it and the towel a squeaking as you wipe it across that glass. Well, I want to be that kind of squeaky clean. That's how clean David was after he had been washed thoroughly from his iniquity and had been cleansed from all of his sin. Now, church, when David said there to wash me from my sin, he was not referring to just a reckoning of being clean. Some folks have gotten the idea that when we're washed from our sin, that God just reckons us to be clean and declares us to be clean. And so therefore, we are clean from our sin. Now, that's not exactly what the David was referring to. But he meant an actual cleansing. And it's typified here by the hyssop in verse number 7, when he said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." He's not talking about, church, a reckoning of God in cleansing us, but he's talking about a actual act whereby God, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, does cleanse us from all sin. I'm glad, thank God tonight, that the blood cleanses from all sin. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what about the baptistry?" Well, what about the baptistry? I take a bath on the outside twice a day. I've already been in the shower twice today. And I'll get in her again tonight and clean this old filthy body of mine. But I'm telling you, my friend, God literally cleanses us from our sin by the precious blood of the Son of God. Hey, and by the way, He cleanses us within and without. I'm talking about the actual committal of our sin. The sin that David is referring to here is the sin where he committed adultery with Bathsheba. The Bible said that it was in a day or a time when kings go forth to battle. And rather than David being out on the battlefield, he was lollygagging back in Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you something, church. Anytime God's people fail to get out on the battlefield, and start lollygagging on God, they're prone to fall into sin. I'm going to tell you, I was in Vietnam for a year and 13 days, dodging bullets. I never had much time for sin. I had a little time, amen, more than I needed, but not all that amount of time. I'm telling you, when a child of God is on the battlefield serving God, they don't have a great deal of time for sin. You know that David committed that atrocity and committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had the gall to send her husband out into the heat of the battle and commanded the people of Israel to pull away from him that he might be put to death in order to cover up his sin. Now, I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, you cannot cover up your sin. You can be sure that your sin will find you out. Now in Second Samuel chapter number 12, Nathan the prophet came to David and reminded him of the sin that he had committed. When he had been convinced of that sin, reminded of that sin, David at that time fell on his face and began to pray and seek God not only for forgiveness, but for cleansing. I'm glad God forgives us of our sin, but God also cleanses us from our sin. Hey, God could cast our sin, church, as far from us as the east is from the west, but yet there has to be a cleansing from all sin. Amen to God. I'm glad that when David acknowledged his sin and got right with God, that God cleansed him in such a way that it made him squeaky clean before Almighty God. Amen. And so, this psalm finds its occasion in 2 Samuel 12. And David's acknowledgement of his sin with Bathsheba, and his confession of that sin, and his cleansing from that sin, and in the cleansing from that sin, it restored to him the joy of his salvation. You cannot have joy while you're living in sin. Now, you may think you can, but you can't. You know very little about heavenly joy if you're living in open rebellion and sin toward Almighty God. David said, "Thy hand," in Psalm 32, "is heavy upon me day and night." He said, "But when I acknowledge my sin, thou forgavest me of all of my iniquity and cleansed me from all of my unrighteousness." I hear to God, I'm glad, thank God, my friend, amen to God, that there is forgiveness and cleansing with the Lord, and that cleansing will restore the joy of our salvation that we have before Almighty God. By the way, that ain't your salvation. That's His salvation. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." I'm glad that Jonah learned that salvation is of the Lord. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's of God. It's not by good works, but it's of God. It's not in the baptistry, it's God. It's not joining the church, it's of the Lord. It's not doing right, it's of God. It's not dressing right, it's of God. Salvation is not even living right. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is what will make you live right. I'm going to tell you why people can't dress right and live right, stay faithful to church. They're lost. Ain't that right? You don't try to get right to be saved. God saves you and makes you right. So you can live right. I don't have any confidence in folks that don't know how to dress, don't know how to live. Hey, man, I wouldn't give you a flip of a used booger for their salvation. I ain't got nothing. Amen. Salvation is of the Lord. And if people ever learn that, amen to God, it'll put some joy in your heart and make life worth living to you if you realize that you don't have to hold on, hang out, and endure, but salvation is of God, and He that saved you has got the power to keep you. Hallelujah to God. Now, I've only got 2 points to my message tonight. I figure I better get into them. I think some of you's already looking green around the gills. Notice what David said in verse 2. He said, "Wash me from thoroughly from mine iniquity." cleanse me from my sin. I want to preach for a little while on the necessity of that cleansing. There is a necessity to it. For a sinner to be cleansed from his sin. And by the way, look here. He needs cleansed by God because you cannot cleanse yourself from sin. You show me one person that has the power to cleanse himself from his sin. He cannot do it, my friend. Oh, no, unto God. When David in that verse spoke to the Lord, he said, "You wash me and you cleanse me because I do not have the power and the ability to wash myself and make me clean." There's a necessity in that cleansing because a sinner does not have the ability and the power to cleanse himself.
Amen.
Buddy, I've heard old Harold Sattler say a number of times that a man cannot lift himself up by his own bootstraps.
Amen.
A leper cannot change his spots.
Amen.
Amen. An Ethiopian church cannot change the color of his skin. Buddy, when a man's born black, he's black.
Amen.
I don't know why they want to be white. And by the way, when a white person's born white, God's made them white. I don't know why they want to lay under a tanning booth and be black.
Amen.
Burn their bodies up with a bunch of heat lamps.
Amen.
Turn their heads around backwards and try to be like black people. What do y'all be like a black person for?
Amen.
Huh? You cannot change yourself. Be what you are because God has made you what you are by the grace of God. You cannot, hey, you can't cleanse yourself. No, sir, buddy. Listen what the psalmist said in Psalm 49:7. We covered this in Sunday school. None of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for them. I'm going to ask you something tonight, friend. Who in this building's got enough power, enough grace, enough mercy, enough cleansing effect in your own life to cleanse your brother or your own heart from sin? Oh, no. Son, David realized that unless God cleansed him from the sin of adultery and then from the sin of murder, that he had faced that sin somewhere down the road. I'm telling you, you can't wash yourself. I can't wash myself. David couldn't wash himself, but he learned that the Almighty God had the power to wash him squeaky clean from his sin. Now, you stop and think about how heinous that sin was. Adultery and murder. Huh? And yet God, through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, took a man who did not have the power to wash himself and carried him to the fountain that's drawn, my friend, that's filled with the blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins and plunged old David far down beneath the cleansing flow of Calvary's dying darling lamb. And there made him white as the driven snow. Though his sin was red like crimson, God made it as white as wool. I'm telling you, my friend, that God delights in washing sinners. God delights in showing mercy. He shows mercy unto thousands. Amen. That keep his commandments and love him. He'll visit the iniquity of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. But God will show mercy to all those that love him and keep his commandments. Hallelujah. I know that's right. Thank be unto God. Necessity of that cleansing. Because you cannot cleanse yourself, Buckwheat. Huh? That when old Naaman come to Elisha, Eli was there. He couldn't get the job done on his own. Huh? And some of you will never be clean. You get on this altar. And ask somebody, "Oh, I'm already saved. So is David. So is David." I'm going to tell you something, friend. You cannot check up, commit adultery, drink, cuss, cheat, thieve and rob, and be right with God, and go, amen, and just come to church and act like nothing is wrong in your life. And expect God just to sweep her under the rug and go on. Brother Doug Thompson, a year and a half ago, and I kept preaching on sweeping her under the rug. And I'm telling you, my friend, you sweep your sin under the rug, a big knot will appear. They ain't but one, my friend, thing to do cure for it, and that's confession and cleansing by the blood of the Lamb. feel like preaching.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look here. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. If thou, Lord, I quoted this in Sunday school this morning. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If God was to mark our sin, that is, if God was to hedge in our sin, who would stand? Not a soul. If God called you into account, my friend, tonight for your sin, you would fall flat of your face. Amen. Yeah, that's right. You couldn't stand. But I'm glad. Hey, that next verse says this. That next verse said, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Praise God. I'm telling you, if God marked our iniquities, we couldn't get rid of them ourselves. But I'm glad, thank God, that God will forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What do you think he meant in 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. There's the first step. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, there's the second step. And that is not a reckoning to be clean. That is an actual fact of cleansing. When he sees me, woo! He sees the blood of the Lamb. God doesn't just reckon me to be clean. He literally, by the Spirit of God, carries me to Calvary and dips me in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus and cleanses my sin and makes my soul as white as a driven snow. Hallelujah. What a God. I feel like sweating tonight. Woo! Well, Ricardo, would you turn them off? I think it's cool enough in here for y'all. Them things dry me out. Anymore, I'm dry enough the way it is. Not my preaching now. Don't you say that. I'll pour a song book at you. Listen. You cannot, look here. You cannot, the reason it's necessary, my friend, you cannot blot out your guilt of sin. You're guilty. I was guilty. Amen. By the way, if you've sinned since you've been saved, you're yet guilty again, buckwheat.
Amen.
And you cannot blot out your guilt. Amen. Though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Amen. And if I ascend into heaven, thou art there.
Amen.
That's what the Bible is saying is, my friend, that you cannot escape from God, and your conscience, my friend, cannot escape from the condemnation of your sin. It will always be present with you until God blots out your guiltiness.
Amen.
I was just reading today where Saul, and I preached on it a little while this morning, was rebellious toward God and refused to obey the commandment of God. And when Samuel came down to where he was at and confronted him about his sin, you know what he said in the latter part of the verse in that chapter? He said, I've sinned. He said, turn aside and worship with me before the elders of my people one more time. For I've sinned. You know what's the problem there? Friend, look here. No cleansing. No forgiveness. Too far down the road. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When David was confronted by Nathan with his sin, he immediately, my friend, when God exposed that sin, he immediately fell on his face and cried out to God for mercy, and God blotted out his guilt. But I'm telling you, Saul faced the judgment of God with that guilt of his sin yet in his heart. You can't blot out the pollution of your sin. A lot of folks don't realize that sin pollutes. It contaminates. And you know the bad thing about it, a lot of times you can't even see it. People don't even recognize it. It's so invisible to them, to the naked eye. Old Brother Gene Mathias called me several weeks ago and he said, Brother Hall, and he said, we ain't got no water. I said, what do you mean, Brother Gene? He said, Russellville's water's contaminated. I said, what? He said, got little squigglies in it. I said, well, can you see them in there? He said, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. That's the way it is with sin. It contaminates. And honey, it'll do more than give you the diarrhea if you play with it. Sometimes you can see it and sometimes you don't. But it's yet there. If you've sinned, it's there and it's polluted. It's contaminated. And I'm telling you, it's necessary for God to wash you and cleanse you because you cannot cleanse your own pollution. Cannot do it. I want to say secondly, necessary for cleansing because you cannot cleanse yourselves from sin. And number two, you cannot live happily unless you are cleansed from sin. You show me one man or one woman that's happy in their sin. I am so happy in Jesus today as I go singing along life's way. Da 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 dee da da day. For Jesus included me too. Yes, He included me. Jesus included me. When the Lord said, whosoever, He included me. Oh, I'm glad He did. Aren't you glad? Church, you cannot be happy. No man can be happy. And I've referred to this three or four times already in this psalm. But if you'd turn back and read Psalm number 32, David is referring to his same sin before he asked God for forgiveness. And he said, Thy hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was turned to the drought as a summer. What old David was saying is my joy was gone. My happiness was gone. That's why he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then I'll teach transgressors their ways. Thy ways. Amen. There can be no joy, friend. There can be no joy. Look here, as surely as a shadow follows substance. You can walk out in the sun tomorrow if it's a sunshiny day. And I don't care where you go, if that sun is shining on you, there'll be a shadow, friend. Shadow follows substance. And sorrow follows sin. But happiness follows holiness. Woo! Do you hear what I said? Sorrow follows sin. But happiness follows holiness. That's why that David said in Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall do what, Brother David? Shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Son, that's what I got over my shoulder everywhere I go. Goodness and mercy. Happiness. You know why? Because my sins are gone. Thank God, you can't be happy living in your sin. That drunk out on the street, my friend, waking up every Sunday morning with a bad head. That doper finally coming to himself, wondering where he's going to get another fix. That whore that's selling her body for another fix. There ain't no joy there. That mama that leaves her kids at home and gets out whole month and runs. There can't be no joy there. I'm telling you, there's only happiness, my friend, and a happy life when our sins are gone and we're squeaky clean before God. That's right. Hallelujah. Are you happy tonight? Remember how happy you was when you first got saved? And you knew the guilt was gone. And the condemnation was gone. That load you'd been carrying, Jesus had took it all away. Do you remember how it lifted your heart and made just filled you full of and your heart just, I mean, your soul could just sing the sweet joy of heaven and how you sang unto the Lord in your spirit, made a joyful noise unto God down in your soul, and how happy you was and how light. I mean, hey, you remember how it was the next morning? You may have got up on the next morning in the middle of a thunderstorm, but it was rain, the sun was shining for you. It may have been in the dead of winter time, buddy, but the birds were chirping for you. That's right. Amen to God. It may have been the gloomiest, darkest day that a world has ever seen, but I'm telling you, the sun was a shining in your life, and you was as happy as you could be. Why? Because your sins were gone. Your soul and spirit was cleansed. Amen to God. And God had made you happy because your sins were gone. Son, I used to walk around down to Addison Corporation. I was working my way through Bible college, and I'd begin to sing. I'd walk up and down. It was a big warehouse, and we'd get all these building materials together and load them up by the door. And then in the evening, afternoon, we'd load them on trucks and send them out all over the country down in there. I'd walk up and down in my aisles at Addison, and I'd be a singing, "It is well with my soul. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." I'd get to singing that song my two girls sang, "I've been on a mountain with Jesus. Hallelujah, and I've been in the valley below. Hallelujah to God." Them guys would look at me like I was crazy. I remember one day old Sid what's his name? Sidney. Can't think of his last name. He come out of that office. He said, what on heaven's name's wrong with you? I said, Sidney, I'm saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. That's what's wrong with me. I'm clean. I'm squeaky clean. My guilt's gone. My condemnation's gone. The load that I carry's gone. The burden's gone. I'm clean. I'm not polluted. I'm not vile. I'm not corrupt. It's all gone. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Now, y'all ain't turned me off, have you? I'm going to give you a third reason why it's necessary for God to cleanse you from sin. Number three, you cannot... this one may change the mood a little bit. You cannot die peaceably unless you are clean from sin.
Amen.
You can't, friend. How can a man lay his head down and die a peaceable death when there's guilt and condemnation hanging over that man, and pollution, and filthiness, corruption, and vile? Well, you can't die peaceably. Oh, somebody said, sure, we can, Brother Hall. Oh, no, you can't. I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a sting in death, my friend. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what sting? The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 and 56, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, my friend. And there is a sting that is in sin. And if it's left there, you cannot lay your head on your deathbed and go out to meet God with peace down in your heart. You think David wanted to meet God troubled and restless and troubled in his spirit? Oh, no, sir. Son, I've got a little book back there. Do all of you well to read. Testimonies of the Dying, Saved and Unsaved.
Amen.
Old book. I've got her back there in my office. Give some testimonies of how some folks died. Oh, how many of y'all been around? Somebody said, Brother Hall, you oughtn't talk about death. It's morbid. You're going to die someday, neighbor.
Amen.
You know you've sinned against God. That David couldn't have faced death with adultery and murder hanging over his head. No wonder he said, have mercy on me, O God. Blot out all my transgressions. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me clean, O God. Amen. David didn't want to face God with that sin hanging over him. Oh, sir, you can't die in peace. Do you know what David said to his boy when Solomon took the throne? When Solomon took the throne and David began to give him his last words, his instructions, and his last words, he said, now son, come here and draw, and I want to tell you something. He said, you know that Joab? Said he was worthy of death while he was my captain of my host. And he said, you know what you ought to do to that man? Said, don't you let his hoary head go down into the grave in peace. You know what Joab had done? Old Joab, my friend, had killed two innocent men. He had killed Abner and Amasa, the captain of the Lord's host, out of jealousy because he didn't want to relinquish his authority to them like David wanted, and he killed them. His brother helped him in one. He killed the other by himself. Amen to God. And David said, don't you let his hoary head go down in peace. You know where they found him at when he was put to death? In the temple of God, hanging on to the horns of the altar of God, a trembling, no peace, dying without peace. I'm telling you, I can't understand why people will die without peace when the Prince of Peace has come, that you might have peace in your heart. Not as the world giveth, but God can give you dying peace. He can give you living peace. He can give you dying peace. I'm telling you what, I'll never forget when old Brother Ross Robertson died. Now, I've told this story so many times, but I'm telling you, it's precious to my soul. When I walked in that hospital room, old Ross was laying there, and it was just the last fleeting minutes of his life. I could take you to the hospital room that he died in. Amen. I could mark the bed that he died in. He laid down in that little old bed, and he looked over at Miss Hall first, and his head was kind of weak, and he said, Miss Hall, I said, what are you doing up here? She said, I come up here to be with you, Brother Ross. And he said, oh, you didn't have to come up here. He said, well, Brother Hall, how long have you been here? I didn't know you was here. He said, what are you doing here? I said, Brother Ross, I come to see you, be with you a while. He said, hey, you didn't have to come up here. He said, it ain't no big thing. He said, I'm just getting ready to die. No big thing. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you, hey, in about just a few seconds, old Brother Ross Robertson turned his head over the other way and went out to meet God with a smile on his face. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, Jacob went out to meet God without peace, with a restless spirit, no peace in his heart, because his sin followed him to the grave.
Yeah.
Sin follows you to the grave, friend. You ain't going to die with peace.
That's right.
No, sir. No, sir. Then number four. It's necessary for you to be cleansed because you cannot be admitted to heaven unless you are cleansed from sin.
Amen.
That's right. You can't be admitted.
Right.
Look here. God could give you eternal life and let you live forever. God could grant you eternal life in your body and let you live forever. But you cannot go to heaven without being cleansed, my friend, from your sins.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's right. Listen to what the Bible says. Hebrews 12:14, he said, follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible said in Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it, that is in the New Jerusalem, anything that defileth. I'm going to tell you why you need cleansing. You ain't going to heaven that way. There ain't no sin. Hey! Don't you know that no idolater or no fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous person has any inheritance in the kingdom of God in His Christ? You ain't going unless you cleanse. That's right. Folks are talking about going to heaven and living in sin every day. You ain't going, friend. Jerry's right. You ain't going. You're fooling yourself. You living in open sin, knowing sin. And telling yourself you're going to heaven, you dumber than a box of rocks. You ain't making it. You need to get saved. You need to get born again. You need to get that thing right with God. I want to say number five. It's necessary for you to be cleansed from your sin because you cannot escape hell unless you are. It may seem funny, but I'm going to tell you something. It ain't funny. Death and hell ain't a laughing matter, neighbor. And sin ain't something to laugh about. Fools make a mock of sin.
Amen.
Huh? That's right. By the way, there's no world between heaven and hell. Catholics like to tell you there's a purgatory there, but there ain't no world between heaven or hell.
Amen.
It's either hell. Are you listening? It's either heaven or hell. And you're not going without holiness to heaven. Where there's sin, my friend, where there's sin in your life, you're going to hell if there's sin in your life.
Amen.
Can't escape hell. No, no, sir. Hell hath enlarged itself. People don't want to talk about hell today. Preachers, but congregations don't want preachers to preach on hell. Folks don't want to face the realities of hell. Don't tell me about hell, preacher. Tell me how sweet heaven is, but don't tell me how terrible hell is. Look here, my friend. Hell is just as terrible in that direction as heaven is sweet in the other one.
Amen.
That's right. Psalm 9, verse number 17 said, the wicked shall be turned into hell.
Amen.
And all nations that forget God. I've got a funny feeling America's headed for hell tonight.
Yes,
she's forgotten her God.
Amen.
And Slick Willie's the chief forgetter.
Amen.
Amen. America's on her way to hell tonight. She's forgotten her God. She's forgotten holiness and morality and righteousness. And she loves her sin. And I tell you what bothers me is when so-called church members love their sin as well.
Amen. Yes, sir,
man. That idiot said that you couldn't contribute to television to that problem out in Colorado. He's dumber than a box of rocks, friend. And I'm going to tell you something else. Them boys learn a whole lot off the internet. I'd be right careful with the net, gentlemen. I don't even know how to turn mine on. Brother, don't give a flip or ever turn it on. In fact, if it wasn't for Miss Hall and Mavis Beacon Mavis or Mavis Beacon, I'd sell mine. It's a bunch of junk, amen. I wouldn't waste my time going through the junk you got to go through to try to just get a little old book or something. Bless God, I can read the Encyclopedia Britannica before I can clear out one page and bring on another. Amen. And they joke on there, gentlemen. Them boys learned how to make bombs watching the internet. They learned how to kill watching that mess. I'd watch it. Amen. You can't escape hell unless you have been cleansed from your sin. Now I'll hustle through this and I'm about done. There's some requirements for cleansing. There's necessities for cleansing, but there's some requirements for it. God, there's requirements that God, these things God requires. If you're going to be cleansed, that's right. Now everybody listen right here. Don't nobody leave. You must be alive to your sin. Alive to your, oh yes, I said alive to your sin. In other words, it's not enough for the preacher to stand up and tell you that the Holy Ghost has come to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And you sit there and nod your head, you've got to be reproved. Right. I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to tell you how He reproves. Through the preaching of the Word of God. We need men today that will stand up and preach the Bible and reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Dave, I'm going to tell you why we sung a little bit in here tonight. Somebody got their hide skinned this morning. Yeah. Somebody got the proverbial plow put down in the root and plowed a little bit. Yeah. Amen to God. I'm telling it right. Yeah. Hey, church, look here. It's got to be. You've got to be alive to your sin. You've got to recognize the fact. Amen. Be reproved and rebuked of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. You've got to be made alive to that. It's got to tickle you and touch you and irritate you. But you ain't going to confess it. You ain't going to confess it. No, sir. David felt his guilt. Where guilt is not felt, pardon, my friend. Pardon will never be desired. If you don't feel guilt.
Amen.
Huh? I'll never forget several years ago. And by the way, on that story I'm getting ready to tell you, the automobile that I bought, I lost it. Back in July, 3 or 4 years ago this July. And God totaled it out right up here next to Christ the King Church. But I'm telling you, I had a Chrysler, New Yorker, and I had fought that egg-sucking thing. I'm telling you, that's the biggest piece of junk, and I wouldn't doubt if Chrysler still ain't a piece of junk. But that's neither here nor there. But I just didn't like that car, and I put money in it and got it where it was perfect. Now, look how ignorant I was. I drove it out of Steve's shop over there, perfect running order, and drove straight to Norman Boggs and said, I want to trade this car. I'm tired of it. Oh, I felt real good. I felt fine. Why, they was glad to make the deal. But when I signed to John Hancock and drove off the parking lot, I'm telling you, my heart fell from my chest to my belly button, and something inside of me said, my God, what have I done? And when I got home, my wife said, my God, what have you done? Hey, I felt the guilt. I felt terrible. I could have crawled into a hole and died. David, when Nathan said, thou art the man, David, you have committed adultery and murder. You're the man. You're polluted. You're corrupted. You're filthy. You're the man. David felt that sin so bad that he could have crawled under a rock to get away from God. And people have no fear of God today. They sin and live in their sin and go on and point their finger and shake their fist. God's not, and have absolutely, my friend, they're not alive to that sin. They can't feel the guilt of it and the load of it. David said, thy hand was heavy upon me day and night. David felt it.
Amen.
I'm sorry. You little old crocodile fears don't get the job done either, but we. I've had him just a scream and squall. Well, Brother Hall, you're supposed to be sorry, yeah, but it's got to be a spiritual.
Right.
Not crocodile tears. So I've seen him stand up in here and cry and go, just be as wicked as the devil himself. Big old crocodile tears ain't a bit more right with God than a man in the moon. You must see, listen now, you must see that your sin is against God. And you must be alive to sin, and you must see that your sin is against God. David said in verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned. I told the Sunday school class this morning, church, that sin is a transgression of the law of God. It violates God's holy commandment until people realize that they have violated God's law. And you will be called in to give an account to God for that. Some of you in this building right now, the way you're living, you're going to have to stand before God someday and give an account to God for the way you're living right now. Now, if that ever comes home to you, you'll get on your belly and you'll be glad to crawl to that altar and beg God to help you get right. If you ever... He's not that kind of a judge. God is the kind of a judge that says, life without parole in hell.
Amen.
That's the kind of God.
Amen.
You must see that you have committed sin against God. You must take, and by the way, you must take the blame for your sin.
Amen.
Everybody wants to blame somebody else. God said, Adam, what'd you do, Adam? He said, that woman you gave me. Said, Eve, what about that? She said, the serpent beguiled me. When he turned to the serpent and said, what about this? He said, I ain't got nowhere to go. The buck stopped with him.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to blame everybody else. Well, the devil made me do it. I was tempted. I was brought up the wrong way. I was raised the wrong way. I inherited it. My parents made me do it. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to tell you, when Nathan said, David, thou art the man, David didn't say, well, wait a minute now. I was brought up wrong. Or mom and dad didn't train me right. Or this or that. I'm telling you, friend, he recognized that his sin was his.
Yeah.
Right. Now I'm trying to hurry. Hey, don't blame other people for your sin. I'll close with these. You must be desirous to depart from that sin. You must have a desire to get away from it. Huh?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, friend. I got so sick of booze. I'm talking about sick of it. Liquor. Booze. And its hold and effect it had on. Oh,
yes,
I got sick of that mess. And you'll never have a desire to be clean until you get sick of the mess that you're living in. That's right. You're going to have a desire to get away from that stuff, to have a change. Like I preached a few weeks ago, that little old girl, that Mary Magdalene, come down to Simon's house and begin to weep and begin to wet the feet of Jesus with the tears from her eyes and begin to wipe his feet with the hairs of her head. You know why? She wanted to change, friend. She was sick of the way she was living.
That's right.
Hey, folks, look here. Everybody listen to me a minute. Church is more than an hour and a half on Sunday night.
Amen.
And 2.5 hours on Sunday morning and an hour and a half on Wednesday night. That's just when we come to get skinned a little bit so we can go out and do a better job of life. That's what God wants us to have give a better job of life. Amen to God. God wants us to depart from sin so we can live better and prosper and have a better life. And this is the last one, I'll close with it. You must have faith in the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's right. Somebody said, well, I think it takes the blood in the baptistry. You're lost. Boy, I believe I got the blood and speak in tongues. You're lost. You got to have faith, friend, in the efficacy of the blood of the Lord Jesus, or you will never be cleansed from your sin.
Yeah.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing. But the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
What can make me whole again? Nothing. But the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Wash me. David said, wash me. Cleanse me. Wash me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. And when he acknowledged that sin, God dipped him in the fountain.
Yeah.
of blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and when he came up squeaky clean. That wonderful. I'm going to say the blessing. And somebody said, Brother Hall, I'm just as innocent as a lamb. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What about it tonight? You won't be squeaky clean. It's wonderful. Nothing like it. Do you know why Paul could say to that crowd that examined him, he said, I have served God with a clear conscience all of my life. You know why I could say that? Squeaky clean. His heart never offended God. When he realized he had offended God, he got right with God.
Amen.
What about you tonight? Have you offended God? Is something in your life ain't right? Is there sin there that you need cleansed from? Let's stand together.